It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
What is happening? What is happening here on a Friday, a non-payday Friday, Bay Area Friday slash Frisco Friday slash Hey Everybody Friday. Shout out to YouTube and Twitch, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal first-class money market today. You can now download the Odyssey app directly from our YouTube and Twitch pages as we have added the QR code on both pages. Shout out to the Xfinity Mobile text line, and shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. Like that hesitation. Get my man Sam Lubman on board here. Let's go! Lubman, no Spadoni today. He's out. He's handling some business. He'll be back on Monday. We got our new rookie. We got to break him in at some point during the show.
Yeah, it's Carter. It's Takata.
And no, he doesn't remind anybody of Lil Wayne. He's a big boy. He's a big boy, but he's getting it in at the Olympic Club. So, I see him.
So does that mean that Sam Lubman's Nino and he's taking back to Carter?
No, I don't know what Sam Lubman. He has a great shirt on. The camera needs to see the shirt Sam Lubman's rocking right now.
Sam, shovel more oatmeal into your gullet.
I can't. I'm already done.
All right.
I shoveled it all in there.
I know today there's a lot of Warriors stuff that we want to break down. But yesterday, I just want to start here. Yesterday, Steiny, who casually pays attention to the San Francisco Giants, and you and him were having this conversation. Jung-Hoo Lee is overrated. No, he's properly rated. Jung-Hoo Lee is an excellent player. He made a couple of plays defensively last night. I don't know if you know this. Leads the team in hits, hard-hit balls.
I said I was coming around to him.
Jung-Hoo Lee in year one, as a KBO guy, is making the transition faster than I thought he would. Kim took a minute to make the adjustment. I'm telling you right now, Jung-Hoo Lee's a player.
He's a player.
Real player.
But the big story about yesterday's Giants game is Logan Webb.
Yes.
That's the story. Forget, you know, Yaz, seeing him come around, hitting the two-out knock there in the bottom of the eighth inning against our boy Kyle Nelson.
I know.
Galileo guy.
Unfortunately, it was against him.
Yeah, he was getting rocked. But Logan Webb!
I know.
Three starts of seven innings plus.
You know, it's interesting. I went down the rabbit hole before the season started regarding Logan Webb. Sam and I talked a lot about him last year, and I said to him, and I'm not like an advanced data guy. I don't look at, like, spin rates and how much the ball dips and this and that. But there are people that do those studies. And I just said to Sam, like, my eyeballs are telling me, like, God, he's throwing the changeup a lot. He throws the changeup 40% of the time. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
He lost a ton of dip in the slider and the sinker and stuff like that last year. But the guy is a throwback player. He led all of baseball in innings pitched last year, over 200. He goes beyond the seven inning. Twice as more than anyone else who was even in the top five in baseball last year.
He's got four quality starts already.
He's an old school Hawk. Now, he's not Greg Maddux, but his
style. He reminds me of that.
Yes.
He reminds me of that. He's not going to throw 95,
exactly.
96, 97, 98.
He paints.
But he paints. Yesterday, 13 ground ball outs. Yesterday, he retired 19 straight batters. You talk about the starts, four to five starts. He's got at least six.
Exactly.
Three to five, he's got at least seven. And I just think back to Logan Webb pitching those two games against the LA Dodgers. We don't talk about that enough.
Well, the performances he had in that NLDS against the
Dodgers. The first game, you're going seven. It's like, damn, he shuts down the Dodgers. And even in game five, I know he gave
up
the knock to Mookie Betts, but he lost 2-1 in that baseball game. That showed me that this guy is ready for the bright lights.
I agree with you.
And now you fast forward to 2024, and I'm thinking to myself, boy, the Giants got a bargain with this guy. 5 years, $90 million, and he doesn't seem like he's injury prone, and he is locked in. When you give him the ball, you're going to have a chance to win a game. So you're playing a scrappy Diamondbacks team that's trying to find their way, and you shut it down, and all of a sudden you're two games under 500, you're 4-3 at home, you take the first game of a four-game series, but it all starts with Logan Webb to me. Last night was the Logan Webb game.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about it. He's been awesome. And in terms of bargains, I'm glad you brought that. I was gonna you look at all these pitcher deals. You get 5 years for under $90 million.
That's insane.
That's a great deal.
That's
for
a great
guy who's going to lead the league in innings again probably this year, knock on wood. Quietly, I don't know if you hear that. It's Tyro Estrada coming around. He's hitting the ball significantly better.
Four yesterday.
No, but I'm just saying in general, the at-bats look better. He hit three down the line that obviously didn't come up fair. He's playing better baseball, and they need him to be a catalyst in this lineup. Patrick Bailey is continuing to show things behind the plate and offensively.
283 now. Well, no, the guy we're not talking about enough is Lamont Wade Jr.
I was going to say Nick Ahmed.
Lamont Wade Jr. has been underrated batting 370. Well, now you get him in a two-hole.
Yeah.
Now you get him in two-hole right behind Jung-Hoo Lee, and he's drawing walks. He had two walks yesterday. So all of a sudden, the top of the lineup, you got Jung-Hoo Lee, you got Lamont Wade Jr. Now if you could get Soler going, who's batting 240, which ain't bad for him, but you got to get Conforto back re-energized. He's in a bit of a slump, but it's April, man. We can't be freaking out over these batting averages left and right. Look at Yaz. All of a sudden, he's batting 135. He had a big knock yesterday. Yaz is coming around.
His defense is solid.
So, look, man, the Giants, let's give it some time here, and let's give it this homestand. You get off to a start where you got to play the Dodgers. It's going to look a bit rocky, but you win the series in Miami, which you historically don't do. You play Tampa Bay tough, and all of a sudden, you're rolling here. So, let's see what happens here. Let's see what happens with this lineup.
You brought up that Miami thing, and I know we'll get into basketball. And there's actually an NFL draft a week from now, which is crazy.
Yeah,
but I was shocked to see that they had not won a series in Miami in 8 years.
That's what I'm saying. They never win down there.
Bonte, that was insane.
They never win that game.
2016?
And to win it on getaway day. 3-1 early in the morning. It's 9 o'clock out here on the West Coast. There's nobody there at that ballpark. Can you steal that game? Because we didn't talk about Jordan Hicks much.
Hey, Jordan Hicks.
Five innings, but you know, he walked a couple guys.
He's got
but
the best stuff
you know
on
what?
Staff.
I'm still gonna lead Logan Webb, but
I'm talking
but
raw,
he is,
just raw stuff.
He is dealing right now. He is painting. He's got a bulldog type of mentality in him too.
When
the trainer came out there, it was like, it's like, dude, this is my bow. Get the hell away from me.
Totally agree.
I said, oh, okay. That's what we're dealing with. Yeah. Okay, Jordan Hicks. I'm cool with that.
He's got a moxie to him, doesn't he?
No, he's got some swagger.
I'm a big fan of his. I just think things are starting to come into shape right now. That Arizona team though, is dangerous.
It is dangerous. I did chuckle yesterday.
What's
though.
That?
When I saw Ryan Walker start the ninth inning, I said, damn, they're just using him left and right. 11 of the 20 games, he's already been used. It's like, we can't find somebody else to shut down the ninth inning. Yesterday, he did strike out the side, but I'm really like, whoa, Ryan Walker is going to get used up.
Well, the guy that I love is Miller, and I know that you were like, oh, they're using him a lot, and they are using him a lot. He's really raw. He's a little older than where Camilo was when they first come up, but you could see, like, if you go righty lefty in the at the end of a game, you got Tyler Rogers, Taylor Rogers, and then you got Miller and then Camilo. That's some diversity from both right and left sides.
Now I do wonder about the diversity to go to St. Warriors next season.
Oh my goodness.
We had Mike Dunleavy Jr. talk or Mike Dunleavy. Mike Dunleavy.
That was the killer crossover right there.
Mike Dunleavy, the UTEP two step. Mike Dunleavy spoke yesterday. Steve Kerr spoke yesterday. And they said a lot. You know, we've got something on Moody. We got something on JK. We got Sal from JK that we didn't even get to yesterday. But boy, I was just thinking about this team and thinking about next season and thinking about who may be back and who's not back. And we're going to watch the play-in tournament today between the Pelicans and the Kings down at the Smoothie King Center in New Orleans. And we'll see who advances to the first round. But the reality is starting to set in for me, Shasky, as I'm sitting around with my daughter yesterday. And I take her to the zoo and we come back home and we're chilling. I'm like, damn, there's going to be no playoff basketball in the Bay Area.
I know.
It's kind of hitting, it's kind of slapping me in the face right now. Like, I don't know what to do with myself.
It's funny that you bring that up. I was thinking about it, and Michelle was like, so the season's just over? And I'm like, yeah, the season's just over. And she's like, well, they weren't good all year. Like, I love hearing my wife's, like, particular opinions. She's like, they weren't good all year. And it's like, yeah, you're kind of right. Well, like, I had no rebuttal. Right. I had no rebuttal to
her. Like, Kareth Burke, the great KB, sent the tweet yesterday. Thanks for watching and listening to all the Warriors coverage. I wish I had a more proper goodbye to this season, but I had to dash off to be with family. Everything is fine now. But yeah, tell the people you love them. See you next season. But just that, I was thinking about it too. I was like, damn, I got to send a goodbye tweet. Like, hey, thanks for watching. It just abruptly ended Tuesday. It's like, all right, bully, let's try to do dinner next week or Fezzy Phil. Have fun in LA this summer. Like, you know, like tell
your friends. I'm over here like hanging out with Rocco and Jimbo and Guido.
No, don't worry.
You're out here hanging out with Festus and Molly.
I'm not
and your wife
out.
Too.
Jesus.
Don't shortchange Michelle.
Don't shortchange Michelle.
Well, if that's if she wants to hang out with me.
Don't shortchange LJ. I mean, come on now. I mean, but like, and I'm like, damn. There's no back. Like, I was talking to Sacramento Station yesterday because I'm going to be in Calistoga next weekend. I'm saying, hey, if the Kings have a playoff game.
Wait a minute. What are you doing in Calistoga?
Anna's birthday.
Are you guys doing like the you know, the full mud baths and all that stuff?
She might do a mud bath. I don't know if I am.
What are you going to do?
Those hot springs up there in Calistoga are really nice.
You know what they say about Healdsburg? It's the only five and dime in all, you know, the store, the five and dime store in all the land where everything's $100 minimum.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, it's a little pricey up there. But
I know some great places to eat.
I've been up there before, and
great places.
We got some good spots too.
Nice.
We've been to a couple good spots. Edda loves that area.
I do.
But
too.
Sacramento will have a playoff game possibly if they win today. So I was telling Sacramento Stacy, I just need to watch some playoff basketball in person.
Well,
I'm not accustomed to this.
Stacey,
it's been a decade strong of Warriors playoff basketball.
Stacy, the big boss from the Midwest, very guru like. She wears multiple jerseys.
Hey, she's got to.
Warriors, Kings.
She's got to.
I think she's a Bulls fan too, originally.
I'm
wrong.
By the way, I was making a mistake yesterday. It's Bulls Heat today, not the Hawks. The Hawks got blown out.
Yeah.
Bulls are in my boy Coby White down to South Beach, Miami. My boy Coby White.
Coby.
$12 million a year, man. Woo! He's a player. But the Warriors need some players. And they need to tinker with the roster. And Dudley, you said a lot. He basically left a lot of things open. Before we even get into it, Chasky, what's the takeaway with Dudleavy? What was the takeaway with Kerr? Let's start with Dudleavy.
Well, I just felt like everybody was going over the top in terms of like we know, I know how important the big three is. We all know how important the big three is. But it felt, I don't know, it just felt so over the top. Like, we got to bring everyone back. It's like, I just wish you wouldn't play your hand so openly.
I don't think they said that. I don't think they said that they were going to bring everything
back.
Everyone
knows how important they are. And I just think we go over the top in terms of the importance of everyone. I don't know. I think they're in a really tough spot, too, because you can't really talk about what your real plans are.
You're not.
Like, for example, I was thinking about last year, how they praised Jordan Poole, you know, at the end of the year. And, Jordan Poole, he's a big part of everything we want to do moving forward and blah, 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 blah. And then almost instantly, he gets removed. I just think being a GM is very, very difficult. You don't want to suppress anyone's value publicly that you are going to move. You don't want to ruin anyone's confidence that you do want to keep. But you want to give the media something. Like, there's a give and take here, and it's just, they're in a really tough spot. Everybody's angry. The season ended.
Yeah.
Everything that you say is getting dissected.
Right.
I guess my biggest takeaway is, and this is me reading between the lines, it sure feels like they're going to make a decision on Moses Moody in particular. And he's not a huge domino, but it feels like he is a guy, either they're going to carve out time here or he's going to be part of a deal elsewhere. And I think that they recognize that.
Well, you know, and I don't think they said they were going to bring everybody back. They said they like to bring everybody back. And that's what you're going to say. That's what you're going to say at a press conference.
Exactly.
You're not going to tip your head and tell everybody, hey, no, you know, it's really unlikely we bring Clay back. It's really unlikely we bring CP3 back. Sure, there's mutual interest, but it sure as hell feels like Chris Paul's gone. That it feels like he's not going to be back playing with the Golden State Warriors
one way or the
next
other.
Season. He wants to play heavy minutes, and he wants to lead a team. And I like, he'll probably come back here. He enjoyed it, but it's hard for me to see Chris Paul being back with the Golden State Warriors. As for Klay Thompson, watching him in that presser again, I keep thinking back to what we see from Klay Thompson as a human being this year and how he wore his emotions on his sleeves. And he's sitting there at the podium. How could he not be thinking, boy, this could be our last time at Chase Center? You know, this could be my last time, you know, talking to the media here at Chase Center. This could be the last time I'm cleaning out my locker. This could be the last time I'm pulling up to walk into Chase Center and my key card works. I have no idea. So we're going to figure this out because Joe Lacob cannot pay over $400 million for a roster that did not make the playoffs. And one thing I know about Joe Lacob, the guy wants to win.
Yeah.
He wants to win. So don't get it twisted. He wants to win, and they will exhaust all options to try to run it back and win. But what does it look like?
Well,
no idea.
It's interesting that you bring up that. Bobby Marks put out this like spreadsheet about how things work when it comes to apron one, apron two, and how you got to get below stuff. I guess the template for Warrior fans is, if you want Clay back, and you want them to be able to have draft picks so that somebody else that's already on the roster would get traded with draft picks to improve the team. If you want Clay back, the number that you're kind of circling is $19 million for Clay, and they would have to waive multiple guys and either re-sign them to smaller deals or allow Chris Paul to just opt, like they're waiving him and they're not getting anything for him. And $19 million for Clay. Going back to your pecking order and like, how does Clay feel about that? let's say it's a 2-year, $19 million deal. Is that insulting to someone like him?
I mean, if you're Clay.
Because I'm now thinking about it from the way that you've been presenting it, and I'm saying to myself, if that's what they want to do, to get under that apron, and you're saying to him, even if you give him 3 years, like, let's say.
Well, maybe 3 years does get him. Maybe it's 3 to 4 years. Maybe it's just a principle now. Maybe Clay, because Clay, he sits there, and I don't know how Clay feels about it, but the 2-year, $48 million deal got reported in the offseason, right? Right before the season, hey, they offered Clay Thompson 2 years, $48 million. They're now far apart. Maybe Clay saw that and said, well, where's my player option? Where's my third
That's
or fourth
point.
Year?
I didn't,
you know what I'm saying? Like Andrew Wiggins and Draymond got theirs, and not the pocket watch on what they're doing. But if you're Clay, you're thinking, boy, I led the team in minutes during the championship run. I played heavy minutes in the postseason last year. I played 77 games this season now.
But where's my
player option?
But here's what I would say is like, do we as a fan base really want 3 more years?
No, I probably not. As a fan base, you probably
not
don't.
Not just Clay, but Dre too. Like, that's why the Dre thing was, like, last year's Dre deal, I thought it was 2 years too long.
Maybe, and he's got the player option. He's probably already opted into the player option. Real quick, let's go to Coach in Vallejo. Coach, what's happening, man?
Coach, good morning. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Good, Coach.
Good morning. You know, first of all, the old saying goes, Father Time is undefeated, okay? These guys are not going to get any better, okay? As much as we want them to, they're not going to get any better. And, of course, Dunleavy and Kerr is going to say the company line. They have to. We want everyone back. That's obvious, so we can't expect the truth there. But like you said, Bonte, Joe Lacob wants to win, and he knows that his team has got to get younger and more athletic, and that's the direction the Warriors are going to go. They're going to cross the Clay Bridge and the Chris Paul Bridge at the proper time, but they know if they want to compete with the Houstons and the Oklahoma Cities and the San Antonio Spurs and the Utahs, they're going to have to get younger and more athletic, simple as that. It's a harsh reality. Lastly, as long as the big three are here, it's totally stifling, unfortunately, the Kamingas and Moody's of the world, okay? And that's unfair to those young guys. Their draft class has moved up and in starting positions and moved on. Yep. These guys are still sitting behind the old fogies here. I hate to use that term because I'm one. But these guys need their opportunities. And if both those guys are not in starting lineup for the Warriors need to do the right thing by at least those two good, young, smart soldiers. Let them go somewhere else where they can flourish and where they can get their careers.
Coach, can I ask you a question? I don't think Wiggins is the end-all, be-all, but at the same time, as we're talking about getting younger and more athletic, it seems to me if they roll back Clay with Draymond and Steph, like Wiggins would be the odd man out because it's really the only way to improve the team getting better. Like, does that really – is that the – are other teams going to accept Wiggins as some difference maker, and are you going to get somebody back who's infinitely better than Andrew Wiggins? I have a hard time seeing that.
You know, Wiggins, it's not necessarily his play. It's his availability. That's the problem with Andrew Wiggins. I think skill-wise, other teams really would like to have Andrew Wiggins. Okay. He will fit with almost anything.
Yep,
you know, the problem is I would like to see the Warriors get a nice young point guard that can guard the other team's guard.
Yes.
So our wings do not have to guard the point guards. Okay, if you want Kuminga to rebound, don't let him guard a point guard. Put him on a small forward or a power forward.
I agree.
Good call, Coach. Look, man, Wiggins, it's a sticky situation because he does have talent, and you slot him on a team like the Dallas Mavericks. You put him on a team.
Oh, he's perfect on
that. Like,
Mavs.
He's perfect on that team.
I mean,
team,
as a third, fourth option
he needs space. I don't know,
he can do with a Tim Hardaway role better.
He's such an enigma. He's such an enigma. And so is Draymond. And so is the Clay situation. And so is this entire offseason. We're going to get all into it. 888-957-9570. We will talk a little NFL draft. Because, look, this offseason, it's not just riveting for the Golden State Warriors. But what about the 49ers trying to bounce back from a Super Bowl loss? And what the hell is going on with Brandon Ayuk? They've got a draft coming up with a first-round pick. The Giants now, the floor is yours. The stage is set for you guys. What are you going to do with it?
They've won a couple games.
Maybe you get some fans. There was a good crowd out there last night for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
JP Money was out there.
Was he? Well, he's everywhere because he's, you know, they're locked up in the house.
Well, my guy Akon locked up. Now he's out.
Good for him.
I want to be free.
Good for him. But overall, it seemed like it was a lot of people out yesterday at Oracle Park. Looked like a good crowd. But what are the Warriors going to do in the offseason? Let's get into the sound. 888-957-9570. We'd love to hear the roster's thoughts on what they hear from Mike Dunleavy, what they hear from Steve Kerr. What do you do with Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga? You got the Draymond situation, all that coming up here on the roast. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Hey, I got a lot of love for you too, as you know.
Alright, check this out. This is San Leandro Mo, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shaq.
San Leandro Mo!
What up, dog?
Just called in and said I'm dropping a promo. I gotta drop a promo. I mean, this is the only show that I feel like that happens. People just come in and freestyle, they sing, they drop poems, poetry. It's like, hey, Shasky Bonte, just let me talk for a second. I'm going to drop a promo.
Is San Leandro, I know I always get confused, San Lorenzo and San Leandro.
No,
but they're right on the border of each other. Is the Marina Landing Nike outlet, is that in San Leandro?
I feel like that's in San Leandro.
Okay.
San Leandro.
Because one of my favorite places in the world is West Coast Sports, which is like a baseball warehouse out there in San Leandro on Alvarado. And I'm telling you, you drive by it, you wouldn't even know it's there. If you love baseball or you have a child who loves softball or baseball, go to West Coast Sports. It's the spot in San Leandro.
Yep. We're going to get to Steve Kerr. He's got a long cut on Draymond Green. We got calls here. 888-957-9570. Yeah, back in the day.
They got gems in there.
They got some gems. You got to look. But
that place is...
You got to get out there early.
Yeah,
you have to get out there super early. Yeah, and I don't know how your boy's getting up to get up early to go out there. Maybe I got a long offseason ahead of me. We got no playoff basketball in the Bay Area.
So you
going to
take up golf?
I am going to get some golf lessons. I think I am going to get some golf lessons. We're going to give it a week, get some golf lessons, and do that and start hitting Golden Gate Park with the with the 9-hole course and what's up. So
maybe a little cliff action, you and me.
Yeah, why not?
Get Steiny out there.
You can have fun with that. Can imagine Steiny on the course. 18 holes.
Well, it's 9. It's a little close.
Spending 15 minutes with Steiny is enough for me. I'm kidding. 4 hours? That's a long time with Steiny. It's a long time.
Yeah, it is.
Yay!
But 9 holes at the Cliffs is like an hour.
Yeah, no, that's true. Maybe. He hasn't played golf with you yet, huh?
No. We played on the course, not in the same group.
It doesn't count.
And I'm not extending that offer to Willard and Dibbs. I'm teasing.
Let's go to Chris from San Jose. Chris, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? Good morning. What up? So, talking about the Warriors, everybody's kind of focused on, what, 3 main guys, right? You got Wiggins, Clay, Draymond Green. Nostalgia aside, all of the great things they've done for us aside, 4 championships, a decade worth of, you know, some of the best basketball anybody's ever seen. When you talk about the X's and O's, Curry and Clay, well, Clay came off the bench. That's fine. He accepted a bench role. He was still playing 30 to 35 minutes a game.
Yes.
So if you're telling me in a young, athletic, 3-point shooting league that you're running Clay Thompson and Curry next to each other, guarding these athletic wings, that's not going to work. Their offense is, you know, taking a step back, Clay specifically. So defense, not going to work. Draymond Green, his entire career, great defender. Everyone wants to call him a generational defender. He relies on wings that can stop the ball and a big next to him so that he can actually play that center field role. He's 6'5". He's not some rim stopper. He's not some otherworldly defender anymore. He has relied on the pieces around him to make his game what it is today. Now, you know, offensively, Clay and Steph, they don't get the same separation that they used to. Mm-mm. And that is what it is. Like the last guy said, father undefeated.
Yep.
So you got two guys playing 30 to 35 minutes a game trying to get separation, and during that, you got Draymond offering no spacing, holding the ball at the top of the key.
So I'm so glad. No, I stay on the line. Keep him on the line. I'm glad you're bringing this up. This is going to sound like I'm ripping apart Draymond Green. He brings things to the table. But you have to acknowledge the conundrum when you play him. If you play him at the four, okay, if you play him at the four, that means you're having a traditional five playing out there. Dre doesn't space the floor on offense well enough as an offensive four to be able to have two non-shooters on the floor. So it creates offensive problems. Defensively, now you are leaving that five out on the perimeter because usually Draymond's still guarding the big, right? And really, Draymond's best asset is as a center fielder helper. Like, yes, occasionally he can guard Jokic or whatever. I think he's a five, but you also run the risk when he's playing small ball five, he can get banged up, he gets hurt, he gets worn down, right? So, like, there is a dilemma when you ride Draymond Green just in general at the four or the five. And I feel like Draymond, you know, lovers are unwilling to accept that he's not a perfect player. He's got flaws.
No, I completely agree. And when you talk about him and his versatility over the years defensively, oh, he can go out on the wing and guard somebody. He can switch back low.
Yeah, occasionally.
He can't really do that anymore at an elite level. And to your point, when you're talking about him playing the four or the five, you know, I know this is a one-game sample size, but what's killed us all year? Lack of size.
Yep.
Getting killed on the offensive glass. He only played 25 minutes. He had three rebounds against the Kings.
Yeah.
You're telling me one of our guys that's playing down low is getting three rebounds?
It's a good point.
Not extending the play.
It's a good point.
Not playing defense, not spreading the floor. So, you know, I'll just wrap it up here. Nostalgia aside, if you're going to bring back Klay and Draymond with Steph, it's not going to work. You're not a contender anymore. And that's just what it is.
Well, let's break it down. Good call, Chris.
That's a great call.
Good call. Listen. The Warriors did go 27-12 over their last 39 games, and they ended the season with a 10-2 blitz. But I could argue that their best stretch of basketball is when they went 14-4 around February, whatever February to March. The last 12 games, their form wasn't as good. Like, let's just break it down. All right, so you lose to Indiana at home. You get rolled at home by Indiana back on March 22nd on a Friday night. You lose to Minnesota that Sunday, the beginning road trip. Then you beat Miami, who was very shorthanded and a flaw team. You get credit for the win. But they were struggling for the most part through the first 2.5 quarters of that basketball game. Orlando. They beat Orlando. They can't shoot. But you know what? That's a good team in the East.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Well, you get credit for that. But they didn't look good against Charlotte that Friday night. They were up 5 at the half after Curry hit a buzzer-beating 3. They weren't playing well. They were down 8 to San Antonio at the half. They weren't playing well against Spurs. That game came down to the wire. And we know what San Antonio's done this year. They've done nothing. They're rebuilding. You lose to Dallas, right? You get the Dallas win. You get the Houston win. Those are two good wins. But against Utah, you didn't look that great. You won by 8. Against the Lakers, you played them shorthanded. The Blazers, you're down 6 in the fourth quarter. Their form down the stretch wasn't clicking like their form when they were 14-8 during the 18 games. But you get credit for going 27-12 in the last 39 games. But it was a bit of fool's gold concerning the teams that you beat. The top teams, you beat Detroit, you beat San Antonio 3 games, 3 out of 4. You beat Portland all 4 times. You got some good wins. You beat Houston basically all 3 times. But the big boy teams, you weren't able to get over to help against the big boy teams. And now when you look at next year, where are these guys? Because like Klay, once he started to come off the bench, he did play less than 30 minutes a night.
Was it 29?
It was about 29 minutes a night.
Still a lot.
It's still a lot, but he was super productive. Uh-huh. And he was efficient. Obviously, the step back was good for him. Are you going to scale back Steph Curry to 29 minutes a game? Are you going to scale back Draymond 29 minutes a game?
I don't know. I don't know. I got to see what the roster
that role?
Looks like.
And who fills that role? Like, is Moody and Kuminga ready to fill that role? No idea. We'll get to J-Mar from Pittsburgh on the other side. You got the Andrew Wiggins conundrum, the Draymond situation. I do want to dive more into Draymond Green because Zach Lowe wrote something yesterday about Draymond Green. And Steve Kerr had a long, extended answer about Draymond Green and what he brings to the table because there's no doubt he impacts winning. But the best ability is availability, and his lack of availability in the first part of the season
hurt this basketball team. When you miss 18 games due to suspension, that's tough to overcome when one of your key cogs is out.
So I mean, I've just been thinking about, like, you're like, oh, you know, Clay's only down to 29 minutes, and, you know, we didn't even get to Wiggins' minutes. Like, at some point, if you're going to keep Kuminga, like, at some point, he's 21. He needs to be a 32, 33-minute-a-night guy, right? And it felt
like he was until the knee tendonitis.
I mean, 33 minutes a night?
It seemed like that until the knee tendonitis.
We can break down the numbers here. To me, it just feels like he gets somewhere in the 20 to 26 range, and they never want to give him those extra 8, 9, 10 minutes, because that's the difference between being an 18-point-a-night guy or 17-point-a-night guy and being a 23 or 24-point-a-night guy, you know, for him, because he's going to get extra layups and he's going to get better opportunities to go to the free throw line. I don't know, man. I think it's really difficult with the resume and I keep going back to Steve Kerr. He looks down that bench and you just revert back to the comfortableness of going to the guys you trust who have led you to championships. And it's very difficult to give new people opportunities, you know, and it's just tough. You know, have you ever been pigeonholed into a position like when you're, they view you as a level one salesman, and they'll never view you as a level two or level three, and they certainly won't ever view you as a manager.
How about, like, just being a promo intern when somebody never sees you as an on-air host, and they're just like, I just see him as an intern. So,
sometimes Kuminga, it's better to just go somewhere else. Like,
so here you go. Kuminga, yeah. 37 games.
Yeah.
I'm going from when he got benched in Denver the last 18 minutes of the game, okay, and he had to sit down with Steve Kerr. So he started 37 games. He started 32 of them.
Okay.
Averaged 30 minutes a night,
mm-hmm,
19 points, 5.5 rebounds, 2 assists, got to the free throw line over 4 times a game and shot 78% and 54% from the floor. So he saw the 30, and there was times he saw 33, there was times he saw 34. It's a Dr. Rich Scalabrine thing.
How much was that? I'm asking, like, Wiggins missed how much time and got...
Well, Wiggins missed a few games. He missed a few games. But remember, Wiggins went to the bench. Kuminga was starting. He started 32 of these games.
I say, make sure you don't miss that break, bro.
No, the reason I'm asking is because I just wanted to know, like, what the context was behind that.
There's a lot of context. There's guys in and out the lineup all the time. They had 27 different starting lineups, for crying out loud. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, Full Service Banking. No compromises. More on the Warriors offseason coming up. We got sound from Steve Kerr and Mike Dunleavy. Plus, we're taking your calls here at 888-957-9570 is the number. What is the first move the Warriors need to make? What are some of the changes they need to make to get back into contention here? It's going to be an interesting offseason for the Golden State Warriors, that's for sure.
Bay Area, it's Draymond Green. The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
All right, this segment brought to you by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. A lot going on with the Golden State Warriors. You know, we've taken a lot of calls, a lot of people who don't want to run it back, who are ready for a rebuild. I'm interested to hear from people who want to run it back and why they should run it back. Because not everybody thinks the same. And not everybody wants to see Clay, Dre, Steph all separate this season or the next season. They want to see them finish their careers over or finish their careers together, Shasky.
Yeah,
I wonder what that percentage is. I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot of people who want to just run it back because of the nostalgia, because of the loyalty, because of what they've done in this uniform. 4 banners, 6 finals appearances, new stadium. A lot of good happened with the big 3.
Can I ask? They're very different. Basketball is different than all the other sports.
Yep.
So there's no like for like comparison, but do we view Frank Gore any less because he went to 6, 7, 8 different other teams?
No, of course not.
How about Tim Lincecum because he finished with the Angels?
No, we don't even remember that.
How about Mad Bum?
We don't remember him with the Diamondbacks. Well, we do, and it didn't work out for him, and he's still on the street
now. But does that change your love of that person?
No, but Bumgarner did do some things that soured me on him late in his tenure with the Giants.
Okay.
I don't think he was as loved. His peak 2014 when he did what he did against the Royals and that entire postseason, legendary. And then 2016, still legendary. Those last 3 years with Bub, last 2 years was like,
What about Pablo?
I think a lot of people were ticked off with Pablo.
But right now.
I wasn't. What I think about people now? Love Pablo.
Okay. I don't know. I just think that everybody wants, like Brandon Crawford right now spent almost his entire career with the San Francisco Giants. And then this year wanted to keep playing and he went to the Cardinals. And I'm sure there are a few people that are upset with that. But like, I think the majority of people are like, dude, he was here long enough. He wants to keep playing. It's okay. He'll forever be a quote unquote forever Giant.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't think people
are going to necessarily, if Clay and Draymond, I don't think that's a conversation, whether or not they move on and people are not going to root for them. They're going to always root for them. But I'm saying they just want to see their own retire together. It's like, you know, it's like a sports fairy tale. When Kobe plays all 20 years with the LA Lakers, that's what people want to see with Clay and Dre. There's some people who want to see that.
Yeah, but for one guy to do it is very, very difficult.
Right.
For three,
I know.
It's almost unheard of.
Trust me, I know. I know, I'm not disagreeing
with
that.
But I think, to your point, though, I think that's what would make it even more special. It's so hard just to hold on to one guy. Like, think of Buster Posey and Matt Cain. I mean, the Giants got two guys who were career guys. And
Cain's
career ended
early.
Yeah, but we still hold those guys to such high regard. I think if you're a Warrior fan, it'd be great to see, obviously, Steph be a career Warrior. But to add Draymond and Clay on top of that, with how hard it is, like, I do think that adds an extra layer of just how special it would be.
But you love, like, for example, you love Brandon Belt. Like, how were those last couple of years for Belt and Crawford received?
Oh, no, it was
received?
Tough. Like, but no, I'm not, like, angry. Like, I don't look at Brandon Belt in the Blue Jays jersey.
No, not that. I meant when he's struggling the end.
I mean, is that kind of just, like, part of the price you pay as a fan when you want to commit
but
to a guy like that?
People say they want it on the front end, and I feel like then you go through it, and then you're pissed.
No, absolutely.
But that's not everybody, though. That's not everybody.
Like,
there's a lot of Giants fans who still wanted Brandon Belt. Here, there's Giants fans right now who want Brandon Belt back right now. I see it on my Instagram timeline. Bring back Belt for first base. Not everybody's the same. Everybody loves hard. You know what I'm saying? Fans are different, man. Like, including David from Santa Rosa. David from Santa Rosa believes the run isn't over, right, David? David, you're on the roast.
Yeah, so I kind of got a bunch of points, but I don't think the run's over. I think the dominant dynasty's over. But if you comprehend all the games that we missed with the suspension and injuries and all the games we let go, I feel like they let those games go because they didn't comprehend the competition in the league. But if they didn't let all those games go and Draymond didn't get suspended, I think we're in like the 4-3 seed, even minimum the 6th seed, and that changes everyone's perspective, if that makes sense.
But what about their record versus winning teams, specifically in the West?
Yeah, that wasn't too good, but against Oklahoma, which is the 1st seed, we let both of those games go off like fouling at the end. Like, just dumb fouls.
So they're going to be better a year from now.
I believe, well, obviously there needs to be change, and that's another point I want to get to. And I think Curry does need help because with people, like, learning how to guard Curry and all the athleticism and length, like, he can't just run all over the court at this age. He needs someone that's going to bring attention either to the paint or a shooter that he can pass to that gets that, like, double team off of him, if that makes sense.
No, I hear that. I hear that. Good call, David. Now, look, we could look at it, and I've cited records against the top teams, but I can remember every single game against these top teams. David is right. There's three Oklahoma City games that went down literally to the wire. They lose two or three of them. They could be 0-3, they could be 3-0 in those situations. Denver, they go on a 25-4 run. You're up double digits. I know it's funny. They go on a 25-4 run.
They used to do that.
They closed the game. They used to do that to teams. They're right. But that's how they lost. And, you know, and we could all go back. I remember the show after that where Kuminga doesn't play the last 18 minutes and we're all ripping Steve Kerr for it. Minnesota, you controlled the damn game. In two of the Minnesota games, you lose at the buzzer, basically. Mike Conley Jr. hits a three at Chase Center. You lose by four. You lose to Minnesota in Minnesota by four. It's a game that's nip and tuck. There's fans that can, you know, as much as we can say, hey, they didn't win against, those games could have went back and forth. And so maybe there's fans who are hanging on to that saying, possession here, possession there. We're a 6 seed and a 5 seed. I know that's not how it works, but we always play to what it could have, should have.
Do you subscribe to that?
Do I? For the team I saw, which is why I thought, man, any outcome Tuesday night wouldn't have surprised me because they were inconsistent. Part of it was due to all the lineup changes. Part of it was due to they weren't all clicking as one at one time. When Clay was hot, Curry got cold. You know, when Wiggins was rolling,
Kuminga took a step back. When Kuminga was rolling, Wiggins took a step back. They were just not all clicking at once, this team. They just didn't move to one drum beat all season long, and yet they win 46 games, and it just so happens that the West is as deep as it ever is. But with that said, there needs to be some tweaks, and I think Dunleavy and Kerr, when we get to the sound, they're alluding to that. You got to get bigger. You got to get more athletic. You got to get some size. And there needs to be some tweaks within the system here. Maybe with certain players. Draymond has to be more aggressive offensively. There's no doubt about that, especially if Klay moves on. Especially. That's some shooting you're missing. I know how people feel about Klay Thompson right now, which, you know, it is what it is. But you're missing some shooting if he leaves. That's a shooter.
No one's denying.
How are you replacing that shooting? Don't know. When you have the cap that you have.
But I guess the conundrum that they find themselves in, well, there's the schematic thing. Like, okay, we get rid, like, cause to me, keeping the guys together, Draymond, Steph, and Klay, and just sacrificing Wiggins, and let's say it's Kuminga or whatever, is that good enough? Is just a simple question. And then, you know, are these other guys good enough for whatever they get back to be able to be better a year from now, in year one of whatever that incarnation is?
I don't know.
I have a tough time believing that.
I don't know.
I'm coming to this more and more. You know, I know we got the draft next week, Vontae with the 49ers, and you and I have kind of been talking about Brock Purdy and the money and the quarterback market and the reality of just sports finance in the modern age. And I'm looking at just where we're at, X's and O's, the profit margin sheets, the losses, et cetera. And I'm looking at the finances, and I just think that a lot of Bay Area fans need to come to grips with the business aspect of how difficult it is to keep all their favorite players on one team simultaneously. And I don't know anything. I'm forecasting here with the 49ers. I don't know anything, but boy, you talk about not being surprised at the Warrior outcome. I would not be surprised if Brandon Ayuk gets moved next week. I've been feeling like it's going in that direction. I wouldn't do it, but I understand because they got a lot of money problems themselves. That's why Eric Armstead was moved. I'm looking at the Warrior situation, and I'm saying, boy, I think they're in some very difficult financial peril, and I would not be surprised if they take an even smaller step back next year so that they could reset their finances to make headway a year from now or 2 years from now.
No doubt.
And I know that's not what people want to hear,
but
that might be the reality that they're staring at.
And look, man, this cap with the second apron and the first apron, it takes so much to get under the first apron, and you got to get under the second apron so you don't get penalized, and you can move draft picks, and you got the Chris Paul conundrum, and everything like that. I mean, look, the finances are the finances. We know it. Joe Lacob has spent, and if there's anybody who deserves some leeway,
if they
do take a step back, I believe it is Joe Lacob and the Golden State Warriors. Like, I know people are saying, oh, Joe Lacob is not serious about winning. You see that on Twitter sometimes, and I'm laughing to myself, thinking, how could a guy not be serious about winning when he's spending money out of control? Like, over $700 million in taxes.
I don't want – if you are tweeting that out, you're ungrateful teenager who doesn't understand what the Warriors were prior to Mr. Lacob coming in.
But he could make bad decisions.
Yeah, but they spent.
And he admitted. But listen, he admitted. He came in here and told us, you know, some of the moves they made during the pandemic season because Klay got hurt again on the day of the draft when he tore his Achilles. They pivoted and said, we're trying to win now. We want him to have a playoff team. So they make the trade for Kelly Oubre Jr. Yeah. Doesn't work out, but you know what? Damn it, we got an owner here with the Golden State Warriors who's going to be aggressive and is going to exhaust all options to try to hang banners and to try and win. Now, you can disagree with the decision-making, no doubt. Okay, we don't all agree with Joe Lacob's decisions. But damn it, I got an owner who's going to put his money where his mouth is. He's going to put his money where his mouth is to try to win basketball games. So if they do take a step back by not paying the tax, and I get you got Stephen Curry here, and you want to maximize Steph Curry's window. But the reality is, you won 46 games and didn't make the playoffs. And he played over 70 games. Klay Thompson played 77 games. You didn't suffer major, major injuries. Chris Paul missed some time with the left hand fracture. GP2 was out various times with the hamstring and the calf. But you know that's baked into the equation. Andrew Wiggins missed a few games here and there. But for the most part, you were healthy. You just had an inconsistent roster and a roster that really didn't fit. The puzzle didn't fit at the end of the day.
Do you believe
it? It's time for you to do the legal.
Not doing it in a second. Go ahead.
Do you believe in, like, if you have good management, things will find a way.
Absolutely.
I do too. So, like, I think about the San Francisco Giants. One of the first moves where I realized things were about finances, one of the first financial moves, not wasn't trading away Kevin Mitchell, which ended up being a great trade. It was the not signing Will Clark. They chose right. Robbie Thompson. It was a little cheaper. You couldn't keep both guys. They allowed Will Clark to go. Now, they got the best years out of Will Clark, for the most part.
You know what I don't like, though, is when they tell us, well, we really couldn't afford both. There's a will, there's a way.
Baseball's,
that's what I've kind of learned with these sports
different.
Teams. But I've kind of learned that with these teams. If you want to keep a player, you can keep a player.
But did it kind of work out for the Giants when it was all said and done? They ended up finding Jeff Kent. It forced them to make some trades.
Yeah, that was like 3 years later.
I'm just saying.
And that was after a strike and a disastrous 1995 and a disastrous 1996.
Baseball was in its own
right.
situation. And
so that
94,
was,
they did have Matt Williams going for the home run record.
They did. And then a strike hit, and then 95 and 96 just sucked.
But the point being is that like it kind of works itself out. Like there was a point in time where they had to make a decision between Monte and Steph. Crazily, it worked itself out. You know, there was a time where they had to move off of David Lee. Right? We act like they haven't done, and I'm not putting Monte or even David Lee in the same category as these other guys, right? I understand there's way more equity. We watched the 49ers move off of so many guys over the years. Sports finds a way. If you believe in management to kind of get things right, like, it's not going to be the end of the world if one of your favorite players ends up playing for another team for a couple of years. And it doesn't take away what they did.
I don't think people are worried about that. I think you're putting so much stock into that about whether or not they... I don't think people are worried about Klay Thompson necessarily wearing another uniform or Draymond wearing another uniform. I think people just want to see the basketball team be productive. And what you have to do with the basketball team to be productive is you may have to make tough decisions. People get that. I don't think the whole, like, we all know how rare it is for a player to sit. LeBron James is one of the greatest players ever. He's on his fourth team.
But how do you get... I guess then... How do you get better? Like let's call it. They're going to play Klay 25 minutes a game, and I think he's a solid player. But is that a good enough at the price point, given how difficult it is to build the rest of the team around him with the minimal moves? Is a Wiggins, or even if you trade Wiggins and you go get, let's just say, everyone's hypothetical, Lauri Markkanen. So a Klay, Steph, Dre, Lauri Markkanen team, and Kuminga's gone, and Moody's somewhere out, and Pods and TJD. That's competing? We really think that's a top four team
in
the
West?
No, it's
not a top four team. I don't think anybody's saying that. Who's saying that? Who thinks that? Who thinks that? They were the top four team this year. Even with Draymond, if Draymond doesn't miss those games, I think they're a top six team. Top four? I don't know. But you talk about Klay seeing the minutes. You know, everybody's so worried about Klay Thompson's minutes and, oh, man, he needs to see this max amount of minutes. So since the All-Star break, and remember before the All-Star break, he came off the bench. His first ever game coming off the bench since his rookie season. And we're all like, how's Klay going to respond? Well, he goes 13-22, and he hits 7 threes in Salt Lake City, and he scores 35 points off the bench, which everybody wanted. And how many minutes did he do that in? 28 minutes and 14 seconds. 28 minutes and 14 seconds. That right there seems perfect for me for Klay Thompson. And then when you think about what he did through the end of the season, he played 29 minutes a game.
But
that's 19 minutes he's not on the floor.
No, I understand
that's,
that.
That's not bad for Klay.
No, I hear you. But you have to have the right parts alongside of him. Because,
no doubt.
Like, because you don't – like, right now their biggest need is a two-guard who can defend opposite Curry or a point guard who can defend
player.
Like a two-guard, right? And is bigger and stronger. So unless you're adding that guy to the team, I do think it's not Klay's fault. You just need someone else alongside him and Curry. Like a Curry-Klay defensive lineup?
It's
not good enough.
But if you had Wiggins defending at the high level, and you had Draymond back, and you had a center comparable, you could get away with that lineup, which you did down the stretch. When you go 10-2, Klay was starting alongside Wiggins and Steph Curry, and everybody's talking about they're playing the best defense of the season. That was true.
Yeah, but I just don't think that's good enough.
So 28 minutes a game for Klay, since we're focused on minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
28 minutes a game for Klay once he started coming off the bench and then through the last 25 games. He played 28 minutes a game. He got you 18.5 and shot 46% from the floor and 41% from three. Why are we complaining about Klay Thompson and his production? That's been pretty good production in 28 minutes a night. Why are we so focused
we're just
on
I'm at just, points? No, but there's other ways to contribute.
And also, defense, how much did we talk about the rapport with TJD?
No, it was really good. But there, you also have to
team
be able
defender.
To create shots for others outside.
But that's not his game. Come on. Everybody, if everybody can create shots for other people, let's stop it. How many shot creators are there in the NBA per team? Like Dallas has Kyrie Irving, well,
okay,
Luka Doncic.
I mean,
all right?
Okay, because he has a
They've
couple.
They've got Josh Giddey and SGA.
And SGA, you know.
All right?
And I think Jalen Williams from Santa Clara can create plays for them at times
come
in the
on.
Half court.
What? Come on. Like 28 minutes a game, and you're asking a player who has never been
asking,
a shot creator,
it's not
but he did
not
have a good rapport
Monte,
with TJD.
It's not good. It's just that you have to, what I'm saying
but
is
But we're
that
focused on, all I'm saying is why are we focused on Clay's minutes? There's other players who had worse seasons than Clay.
Well, because Clay's the guy right now, financially, depending on what he makes, that sets you up to where you can't make a lot of moves. That's why. Right, like the going back to the finances. So
well, he's a free agent.
But if you bring him back, you're kind of hamstrung with how many other moves you can actually make. So that's why I find it to be the most interesting. Is he the end all be all in terms of problem? No. I don't even know if he's a top, two or three problem. I think their problems are much deeper than him. But bringing him back locks you in to the limited amount of options to create. An environment right. around him that's better.
Well, 28 minutes, but I'm looking at Moody and Kuminga, and the guy who is blocking him or blocking them are Andrew Wiggins. Like, Clay is one of the best shooters in this league, and the spacing he provides, like, that's the other thing. We can talk about, oh, he's not a shot creator. Well, is Andrew Wiggins? Does Wiggins create for other people? Hell, we could ask, does Kuminga create for others?
No.
Does Moses
no,
Moody
but,
create
but
for others?
Right now is like, a better defender.
Like, I just feel like the finger point at Klay Thompson is just gone way
no,
over the top.
No, it's not finger pointing.
Because
what he does, because
what he does offensively is a lot more than Andrew Wiggins. It affects the offense a lot more than Andrew Wiggins. It affects the offense a lot more than Moses Moody because he can space the floor, and you got to pay attention to the guy. But the players around Klay and Steph, when you look at them, when you got two non-scorers, guess what? Steph and Clay is going to be compromised with no spacing whatsoever. We saw that in Sacramento. Sacramento, they just blitzed Steph and said, somebody else beat us. And they sat on the lobs with Draymond Green in a 4-3 half-court situation. Mm-hmm. They dared Draymond Green to be aggressive offensively, and he didn't have it. So when I'm looking at other guys' minutes, like I'm getting 28 minutes, I'm saying, wow, Klay Thompson and TJD, how much did we talk about that two-man game? That was a big talking point.
It was
wow.
Nice.
CP3 with Klay Thompson.
But I'm not sure. I'm not convinced TJD is a starting center in the league when you look around.
Yeah.
I think he's a backup. Like I love TJD. Like, to me, ideal backup.
But
like,
we were saying that he's
center.
Not creating for others, and he was creating for him. You know, so I agree with a lot of points. He's playing 28
it's one
minutes.
Thing to have
that's
a couple
fine.
Of assists,
but it's like, I just feel like. We're hyper-focused on Klay Thompson and what he's doing when other players didn't pick up their hold
no,
their
I
water.
Agree with that.
Like, well, you know what I'm saying?
No,
Andrew Wiggins didn't hold his water.
Unfortunately, where they're at financially, it's put an overemphasis on Klay's contract, and we're nitpicking Klay Thompson because bringing him back locks you into a limited amount of ability to make a team better, right? You bring him back and you get right up to that apron. Really, the only trade piece that you would have that has any value is going to be Kuminga and Wiggins.
Who are you bringing in for him?
Who?
Klay Thompson.
You might just have to bite the bullet and lose
so
his
you
money.
Get worse by just losing one of the best shooters in the
Bonte,
league. I don't think Joe Lacob's going for that.
He might not be. I'm different. I'm coming to the reality that I think they got to take a step back, and I think part of taking a step back is suppressing the salaries a little, keeping all of your assets in terms of draft capital, trading away Andrew Wiggins. I would trade away Draymond Green, get smaller contracts to move up. They need to fix their money. Like I personally believe
they need to fix
their money.
And now we're left with Steph, and we're winning 20 games.
And that's the gamble. Yeah,
yep, that's the gamble.
I know.
All right. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and AC1 San Francisco. And don't forget, you can also watch us every single day on our YouTube and Twitch streams. Just log on and search 95.7 The Game. Be sure to like and subscribe to the channel while you are there. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal First Class Money Market today. You can now download the Odyssey app directly from our YouTube and Twitch pages as we have added the QR code on both pages. Shout out to the Xfinity Mobile text line. Rick,
Tamir. Let's get the Rick on the other side. Rick, Tamir, George, hang tight. We'll get to you on the other side. Dave Flippy coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We've got Shameless shout-out to 745. David Parker just spent $4.99. Get a consistent threat to take the attention off of Steph. A dominant big, a versatile ball handler who allows Curry and Clay to run free, LaMelo or DeRozan. I don't think those are the answers, but I hear what you're saying, David Parker. Thanks for the contributions. Boy, we all say we want to see Moody and Kuminga. And what happens if they struggle in starting roles or bigger roles and the Warriors aren't winning games? You already know what's going to happen. I already know what's going to happen. We're going to be taking calls. You gave up on the big three. You gave up on these guys. You gave up on the champion. You already know what's going to happen. But this is the tough situation the Warriors are in. They're in the pickle right now. So let's try to figure this out. Again, we got Sal with Dunleavy and Kerr from yesterday. All that coming up on the Rose, brought to you by Robert Half.